The conflict in Sudan is entering a fourth month with no sign of a resolution. Fighting between the Sudanese army and the rival Rapid Support Forces in the capital of Khartoum and across Sudan is deepening poverty and hunger and driving millions from their homes. Our Africa correspondent Emmanuel Akinwotu has been covering the conflict, joins us now from Ibadan in Nigeria. Emmanuel, how bad are things in Sudan?
Well, more than 3 million people have been displaced and counting. You know, 3,000 people have been killed and 6,000 injured. That's according to Sudan's Ministry of Health, although the true figure is likely way higher. You know, there's a communications blackout across parts of Sudan, so really there's a limit to what we know. The epicenter of the fighting is still in Khartoum, the capital, and especially Omdurman, which is a neighboring city. And some of the most shocking atrocities have been in West Darfur, where there are echoes of the genocidal violence that we saw 20 years ago against Darfur's non-Arab ethnic groups. And albeit that was in a different context, you know, at the moment, the International Criminal Court have actually opened investigations into these abuses. And every day we're hearing new details of atrocities and potential war crimes. You know, the humanitarian aid is sorely limited across the country, and peace talks have so far been a failure. When I've been talking to people, there's this feeling of despair that the international urgency has waned, even though the conflict has gotten worse. And we should warn the audience, you're going to hear some gunfire in this piece. For over 3 months, everyday life has been cruelly upended into a frontline fight for control of Sudan. Army Air Force jets bomb targets from the sky in the capital Khartoum, toppling apartment blocks or hospitals that the Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, have occupied. The RSF launched their offensives from the ground, breaking into homes and residential buildings. Throughout this conflict, we've been in touch with residents in Khartoum and beyond, who regularly post footage and updates of the horror and warfare unfolding on their streets. The conflict has destroyed the health system and left millions displaced. More than 1 million people have left Sudan, and over 200,000 refugees alone have crossed from Darfur to neighboring Chad, fleeing some of the worst violence seen there since the genocidal war 20 years ago. Miriam Hadia Mohammed is one of them. I met her in a refugee camp inside Chad some weeks ago. She said attacks by the RSF and allied militias targeted and killed several people like her, civilians of African ethnicities. The reason I came is because of the Arabs, or the RSF, who came to us and said if we don't leave now, they'd kill us all. She fled with her 4 children, but she doesn't know where her husband and her siblings are. She's praying they're still alive. While Darfur and the country have deteriorated, very little help has arrived.
I think it's quickly falling back to being a neglected crisis, unfortunately.
William Carter is the country director for the Norwegian Refugee Council and has stayed in the country throughout the conflict. He said the fighting made it virtually impossible to access several areas and that international support for Sudan has waned.
I haven't seen it diplomatically being treated with urgency. It's not an ignorance case. It's a case of apathy at the moment. And you know, the right powers not necessarily willing to stick their necks out.
Several ceasefire deals to allow the movement of aid were negotiated by the US and Saudi Arabia, but then failed to hold. Peace talks led by the two countries were held in Jeddah, but unraveled last month. Then in recent days, there was a new flurry of diplomatic efforts. This was Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi calling for a resolution at talks in Cairo last week, while the East African bloc, IGAD, have led another set of talks. But with parallel talks and conflicting objectives between them, there is little expectation they will facilitate peace.
Everyone can see that the international response to Sudan has been subpar.
Khalid Kerr is a director at Confluence Advisory, a think tank she founded in Khartoum. Like more than 1 million others, she left Sudan after the conflict erupted in mid-April. She said the international community, including the US, have allowed the two warring generals to use the talks to burnish their image.
They could be seen to be engaging in internationally mediated talks and at the same time not bear any consequences for breaking the negotiated ceasefire.
So the fighting and the bloodshed continues, and thousands like Miriam are now refugees. She and her children are laying on a mat in the desert heat of a camp in Chad. In the straw baskets scattered around them are the few remaining belongings they managed to take with them. I ask her, do you think you'll return to Darfur one day? No, she says. She's left Sudan and is not going back.
Well, so all that sounds extremely grim. And I gotta imagine if the situation gets even worse, there will be more people leaving.
Exactly. You know, there's been a steady exodus from Darfur and other parts of Sudan. And the millions left are helpless because the country's falling apart and aid groups can't move supplies across Sudan. You know, and it could get far worse for the country and its neighbors unless this stops.
That's NPR's Emmanuel Akinwotu in Nigeria.
Thank you.